Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Family service, it's really nice to see everybody from the youngest to the oldest. Are you sitting comfortably? Well, don't get lulled into a false sense of security. Right, because we're going to talk about worship. Now, worship is very important to us as a church. It's one of the key foundational things that as a church we value and we honour worship and coming into God's presence. But from time to time, it's good to have a refresher and to just think about worship again and just look at what it actually means and to just focus on the truth and reality of what a time of worship with God might be. So, the first thing that we need to remember is that worship has got absolutely nothing to do with us. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's about putting Him first in everything that we do, everything that we are, everything that we say, everything that we think, where we go, where we don't go. It's about Him and Him only. And honestly, we can get into a place where we can start to say, oh, the worship wasn't very good this morning. Or, I didn't really feel like I had a great time of worship. Or, oh, I don't like that new song. Or, oh, that was a bit loud. But at the bottom line of all of those groans, mumbles and complaints is that that truth has got forgotten somewhere. Because worship is about honouring Father God, about putting Him first, and about giving Him worth and value for who He is. That's what it's about. And songs actually are vehicles. You could think of them as little cars. They are vehicles, tools to take us into the presence of God. That's what they're for. Now, the worship team and associated persons with gifts of songwriting spend so much time, their own time, volunteer time, learning how to play an instrument, learning how to write a song, making sure that it sounds good, making sure that we can sing it, those of us who are musically uneducated, in which I count myself. And thank you to all of you who do that. Thank you. But what we have to remember, from the youngest to the oldest, is that when we come together in a worship time, that the worship time, the encounter with God that we have, is our personal responsibility as we come into God's presence and put Him first. That's a fantastic noise. I really like that noise. I genuinely like that noise. Worship is about honouring Him, giving Him His full worth, because He is worthy. It's about expressing or showing that we love Him and we are thankful to Him. In Hebrews 13:15, it says, through Jesus, let us continually or always give praise and thanksgiving to God. So worship isn't something that we just do in little time on a Sunday morning, or that you just do when you're doing your ironing and you put on some worship, or you just do when you're in your car and you listen to some worship on the way to work. It isn't just that. Worship is a doing word we used to learn. I don't think they learn that anymore, it's a doing word. It's probably a fronted adverbial or something else I don't understand. But a doing word. Worship is a doing word. It's a 24/7 doing word. It's not just singing songs, although it is singing songs. Singing songs is a part of it. So, the blueprint for how we worship is found in the blueprint book, the blueprint for Christian life. Now, this is the version that the children use. Children, have you all still got your Bibles that we raised money to get? You all still got them? Has anybody worn theirs out yet? There's two or three children who have worn their Bibles out within the last 18 months since we raised the money to get the Bibles together, which is one of the most exciting things I've ever seen in my life. When a 10-year-old comes up and shows me their Bibles falling apart, that shows me something exciting is happening in our midst. Because this is the blueprint. This is where we learn how Father God wants us to worship, how He wants us to behave, how He wants to live our lives. Now, Who knows that this book was not written in English? Yeah, wasn't written in English. Does anybody know what it was written in? Yeah, I don't. Hebrew, that's right, that's the old bit. Anybody know what the new bit was written in? Greek, that's right. Hebrew and Greek, well done. So it's written in another language. And when you translate things from one language to another language, sometimes there just isn't enough words. English is meant to be the language of poetry. But in a couple of places in the scripture, we discover there's words in the Bible that English isn't very good at helping us to understand. So I'm sure you've heard us say many times before that the word for worship and praise in the Bible that we have in our English version has at least 10 different words in the scripture, with each having an individual meaning that's really important. So we're going to only look at three of them this morning, but just to remind you, songs are a vehicle to help us in our worship, and singing a song is one of the words. Tehillah, if I remember rightly. You can test me later and tell me if I got it wrong. But there's also a word that says to clap, and a word that says to dance, and a word that says to kneel. And they all have a different word and a different meaning. The ones I want to concentrate on this morning. The first one. This is what it means. It's called halal, and it's the root word where we get hallelujah from. So halal is the word. I don't really mind if you remember that or not. It doesn't really matter. If you're in J24/7, you'll do this so many times, you'll learn them. But it doesn't really matter. What matters is that you understand what it means, and the reality of that spreads like an infection into our actual worship on a Sunday morning, whether we're all together as a family or not. Because another danger that we can step into is to think that worshipping outside the comfort of just singing a song is something lovely for the children. But actually, it's something lovely from the Word of God. And we need to submit ourselves to the Word of God. That's what we're about. So, halal. To be clear. To praise. To shine. My guess is that's because when you worship, you come into the presence of God. And when Moses came into the presence of God, he was shining from having been in God's presence when he came out. To boast. That's just really interesting to think about, isn't it? In worship, you are to boast. Because we associate boasting as something that's not a positive. But actually, to boast in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Creator and the one who holds everything together is quite okay. So boasting. Boasting is normally loud. Never heard anybody quietly boast. Just throw that in. To show or to demonstrate. To rave. Celebrate. And be clamorously foolish. To be, this is just the normal word. This is the root of it all. To be clamorously foolish. Because this God, this King, this Lord, he has done everything. He has won everything. His victory is complete, and his victory has been paid for you, and it's free. If you won quite a large amount of money, or maybe even a sausage roll, you might be excited because it was free. You might be moved to do something other than sing How Great Thou Art. You might jump up and down. You might run around like a lunatic in a circle, getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until you meet yourself coming and fall over in a heap in the middle. Because you're so deliriously excited. That's what worship means. Overcoming this personage of me and demonstrating who God is. The next word I want to just remind us of is the word yada or yada, however you say it. But again, it's not about the word, it's about what it means. It means to throw out the arms in adoration. It's the absolute opposite of moaning and whinging and wringing your hands in woe is me pity. So it's not, oh no, it's terrible, it's all gone wrong. Oh dear. It's the complete opposite of that. It's to go, I adore you. Who you are makes everything in my life make sense. Wow. And interestingly, there is a story in the Old Testament where great jumping Jehoshaphat, that's not his real name, Jehoshaphat is his real name, he was with his people and they all gathered together like we have now, oldest and youngest, to come and seek him because the enemies that surrounded them in the villages of Crawley, Southwater, I'm joking, but the enemies that encamped around them had bandied together to come and destroy God's people and they sought God's face together. And when they sought him, he came with a word, a prophet came and brought a word, and the word was, you need to do nothing in this situation except put the people at the front who are going to praise and worship, who are going to honour me, and this is the word that's used, who are going to stand and fling wide their arms in adoration of who I am. And when you do this, your enemy is going to be defeated and they're going to turn on each other and they're going to kill each other. And that's exactly what happened. All the armies turned on each other and killed each other. And then not only that, they got to go and get the plunder and the spoils and the riches of their enemy. Now, I don't know about you, but I like the idea of God fighting my battle for me because his resources are much greater than mine. And that time of worship where you adore him and you fling your hands in the air and you honour him. Can anybody do that? Can you fling your hands in the air? Who can fling their hands the furthest and highest in the air? Fling your hands in the air. In that act of adoring God with your arms like that, you will see your enemy defeated. Thank you, Jesus. I have one more that I felt God said we should look at. It's the word tauda or toda, and it's an extension or an add-on to the word yada. So actually it means the same thing, which is really interesting that it is an extension of the word. This time we are extending our hands in adoration, but there's something inherent in it, which means something inside the way this is used in the Bible. That it is when you do this, you are doing this over things that God has promised and you have not yet seen. So this type of worship, when you adore your king, in that moment when you've heard him and you know that he has promised you something, you adore him with your hands stretched out and you choose to focus not on the thing he's promised, but on him himself. Adoring him and putting him first and giving him everything, then you are worshipping him over that which he has promised and he will be the one that accomplishes it. And for those are the three things that I'm telling you grown-ups, because I feel that I know that God is saying to you that within this week, for each of us, this applies to our lives. For each of us, we are facing enemies or difficult situations. Or we are facing things that we have heard God promise and we haven't seen it come into existence yet. Or we are not allowing God to be the focus of our worship, for him to be our Lord, for him to be the one we surrender to. And we are still choosing to hold on to things in our own strength. And God's answer for us this week as a people is to worship him and give him his worth over and above the situation. Not coming and saying, please, 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 can I, will you, but just coming and saying, you first, you are my king, you are my Lord, you are my God, and I worship you, and I honour you, and I adore you. And if you have to get on your knees in your living room because Father God has told you to do it, please do it. It's okay to draw the curtains and make sure everybody's out, even the cat. That's okay. Because it's about coming into the presence of the God that loves you and about receiving from him, because he has everything for you. He has everything for you. So that's our brief revision on the words. And I'm going to be really kind because it is quite warm, or maybe it's just quite warm for me. I'm not going to make you do them at the moment. And genuinely, there is a value to putting aside what you want to do and what you want to be and hitting your knees in worship and laying out before the Lord in worship, running up and down and marching in worship, raising your hands in worship. There is a physical demonstration. These are doing words. There is a physical demonstration that causes something to happen in heavenly places. Okay. Now, during this next bit, we're going to look at another Bible verse, because remember, we are using our Bible as a blueprint. But I'm going to ask Jay, now would be the time to bring forth what we need, because I'm going to ask... some of you might have these at the end of your... There'll be felt tips at the end of your rows. And some of you already have paper crowns at the front in packs underneath your seats. And the Connect team guys are going to bring round the crowns now. So if anybody's helping Jay with that. So you're going to be given a crown and you're going to need a felt tip. And I know this is going to be distracting, but we're going to try and hold it all together and see if we can do all these things at the same time. The children can do it. So grown-ups, up to you. So if you can do it too. But... you're going to need a crown for this next section, okay? Now, just a bit of help with this is that I bought these crowns because I thought it would be easier than me cutting you out individually a paper crown. When I tried to make them this morning, they're very, very delicate in the section at the back where you connect it. It's very easy for it to go and not quite work out. So I have some sellotape fairies in the room. If you have a complete disaster with trying to build your crown, the sellotape fairies will come to the rescue and give you a roll of sellotape so you can stick your crown back together, because you need to be able to wear a crown, okay? This is part of your humbling yourself and surrendering yourself to looking foolish and being clamorously foolish in the worship this morning, because we are going to wear crowns. I might take a photograph, I might not. So... and I apologise, because there's lots of tiny bits that can pop out of these crowns and go all over the floor. But I promise I will help with the hoovering. So you need your crown, but you also need a felt tip. And the felt tips are in pots at the end of the rows. So whoever's on the end of a row, have a look for the paper cup of felt tips and pass the felt tip along to everybody. And grown-ups, if you've gone out the back because your children were making a noise, you might want to bring them back in, because we're making crowns. Okay, how you doing? Put your hands up if you don't have a crown. Hands right up in the air if you don't have a crown. Oh, sound desk need crowns. You'll also need a felt tip. You'll need to measure your crown. I have the biggest head in the world and the biggest hair in the world. And if they fit me, they'll fit all of you. There you go. They fit me and Susan. That's it. And everybody else's heads are bound to be smaller than ours with our glamorous locks. As long as you can balance it on your head for a bit, that's all you need to be able to do. Does anybody need sellotape? If you do, please put your hand in the air and the sellotape fairies will bring sellotape to your rescue. Hands right up in the air if you need sellotape to help you. I don't know why these paper crowns are so flimsy, but they are. So, thank you very much for being patient with me whilst I refreshed you on worship. Does everybody have a felt tip that needs one? Listen to the sound of sellotape. Isn't that one of the most exciting sounds in the world? Gets all the creative juices going when you hear sellotape. Okay, so whilst you carry on making your crowns, making sure they fit... Now, with your felt tip, you are free to decorate the outside of your crown whilst we're talking, whilst I carry on talking. But please don't put anything on the inside, because we're going to do that together in a minute. We're going to write some things on the inside of our crowns in a minute. So we've refreshed ourselves on the fact that worship is not just singing songs, and it's not just what we've reduced it to within our comfort zone. Its actual main priority is putting God first, and even being foolish enough to trust the lady at the front who says you have to wear a paper hat in church, for which you all get really good points for coming with me on this adventure. But as I said earlier, the blueprint for worship in the Bible, the blueprint for worship in the Bible is really clear, that worship continues in heaven both day and night. Worship doesn't stop. Where God is in heaven, worship doesn't cease. God himself is seated on a throne. Now, I always have to say this because once somebody got upset, but this is just a shop, a chair from a charity shop, okay, to help us to understand how it works in heaven. So it's a bit like an earthly map. Now, children have settled. Grown-ups, it's time for you to settle. I know it's exciting having a paper crown and some felt tips and some sellotape at church. However, when the grown-up is talking at the front, in J24/7, what's the rule? Don't talk when a grown-up is talking. For the purposes of this morning, I am a grown-up. So settle down. I don't mind the sound of sellotape, but talking about sellotape isn't needed at the moment. So, in the book of Revelation, it describes that worship is going on in heaven 24 hours a day. And that worship is focused on God on a throne. So we have a throne to help us to understand that we are worshiping a victorious king. We are honouring a God who has gone before us and has won for us everything. This is really exciting because it helps us to understand that worship is a process. We start in our worship in the outer courts, in a place away from God's presence, because we've been to Aldi or we've been mowing the lawn or whatever we've been doing, and our focus hasn't been primarily on God. So we start in the outer courts, and as we start to sing his praise and to honour him and worship him, we draw near to his presence. We're coming closer to the very presence of God. And because Jesus died for us on the cross, he ripped open a way for us to come into the actual presence of God, us, to come before this king and be welcomed by this king. And this is what happens when we come in here and we sing, or we're at J24/7 or upstairs and we sing. This is what's happening. We're starting here, outside, and then we're coming because we're welcome and we're invited into God's presence. And as we sing and we praise and give thanks, we come right up to the very throne. We have access. Permission is granted for us to come to the very presence of God. And that's the process of what happens in our worship. Now, we find a bit of a description of this in Revelation chapter 4. I'm just going to read the key verse for the morning. I'm going to read it first from the truth. In this place, in this picture in heaven, we've been given a picture of some heavenly creatures who are worshipping God. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honour and thanks to the one who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall before him and they place their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, because you created all things, and it is by your will that they came into existence and were created. Now, there's two parts to this now, for this next part of the service, and we're actually going to do the second part first, because God was saying to me that it was really important this morning for us all to just reflect on the fact that He has chosen us to be His children. He has crowned us with everything that He has. He has given to us everything He won for us. He has crowned us with His love. He has crowned us with healing. He has crowned us with forgiveness. He has crowned us and given us worth because He has chosen us. And it says in the scripture here, it is by your will that they came into existence and were created. That's something that God wants to say to some people this morning. He wanted you. God wanted you. He chose you. He brought you into existence because He wanted you, because He loves you, and because He wanted to know you. He wanted to make you His own. Wearing a crown is a symbol of authority being given to you. It's a symbol of being accepted. It's a symbol of position. God wanted you, He accepted you, and He chose you to be His child, and He has crowned you with His name because He wants you. And that in itself is something that can spark worship inside of us. A God that wants us, a God who died for us, a God who gives us access to His presence. Now, here's the bit where you've got to write in your crowns, so it's going to cause lots more excitement. At the beginning of this, it talks about having crowns. Now, a crown can be a representation of your achievements and of who you are. So what I want you to do now, and you can talk for this because I'm going to give you a period of time to do it, and then I'll tell you to be quiet and then we'll carry on with the next bit of the service, okay? What I'd like you to do, and I'd like you to help your children, please, with writing, although children, you can draw what you want to put inside your crown, what you're good at if you want to, instead of writing, because drawing is okay. And remember, we don't worry about spelling at church. It's not important at church. So I'd like you to write inside your crown your greatest achievements. And then I'd like you to write your favourite thing about yourself. The best thing you've ever done. Your most important possession. Your closest relationship. So in the children's language, what's the best thing about you? You can write your qualifications if you want, if you've got any. Cycling proficiency. How you doing? When you're done, you can put your crown back on your head. Then I'll know you're done. And so as I read the scripture again, I think you might guess where we're going with this. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honour and thanks to the one who sits on the throne, Father God, He who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him and they place their crowns before Him. So they take off who they are, the best about them. All of the rewards that they have in life, all of the good stuff, and they place it before the King. Now, here's the thing. You can also place all the rubbish stuff there too. You can also place all the mistakes and all the fears and all the concerns. Because when we come into the presence of God to worship, giving Him worth and worship means that we come and we kneel before Him. And we're saying, I'm taking, in the really old translation I looked up, it said, I am divesting. It's the right word, isn't it? In my head, that just, I imagine, just like taking your vest off. but that's where my brain works. But I am taking away from me. I'm taking off everything about my glory, about who I am, because actually I recognize in your presence there is no good thing in my life. It doesn't come from you. You are the source of every good thing that I have and that I am. And so my act of worship is to take off my crown and to place it before the throne in an act of surrender, in an act of honor, in an act of making him worthy, in an act of demonstrating, this is my king. And there's such a place of peace. It's almost a place of peace in the room as you're realizing this. And you feel how the room has shifted a little bit. And it's a place of peace because peace comes when he is Lord. And then remember what's happening out the back is that when we kneel before him and we adore him and we extend our hands to him, he goes, fights our battles. He defeats our enemies. He causes those things that he's spoken into our lives that we haven't yet seen to come into being as we choose to honour him and to worship him and to put him first in our life. So this morning has been a refresher course for us in what worship actually is. It's never singing songs. It's never whether you like it because it's a bit rocky or it's a bit slow. It's about the worship of the King, about giving him what he is worth, what he deserves. And so this morning, we're going to have a kind of messy time of worship for the rest of the morning. I'm going to invite the band to come and join us, and they're going to lead us in worship. And in this worship time, we're going to demonstrate what we've just learned. If you feel the urge to dance and be clamorously foolish, you go ahead. If you know that in your response to God, you need to kneel and to extend your hands because you need to see something that God has promised become a reality, or you need to adore him because you need to see your enemies defeated, that might be an act of worship you need. But don't forget all the others. There's prostrating yourself before him, there's singing out in prayer, there's singing out in the Holy Spirit in the gift of tongues, there's singing out a new song, there's clapping, there is dancing, there's even running, because running and raving all go together. So what I'd like us to do is to stand. But I'd also like you to cast your crown before the throne this morning. At some point during our worship time, it's okay to come up the front. It's okay to make your way to the front. That's why there's a space here. Because if you want to kneel, you want to worship in kneeling, in adoring, or even if you want to just jump up and down. But to come as a family, to parents, if your children have run around and are doing different things, come together as a family. And to honour our King and to place before him who you are. And it's okay for the children to keep their crowns and take them home. If you don't want to take yours, you can just leave it here and I'll clear it up at the end. But let's enter into God's presence. And I would like you to honour God's presence by standing at the beginning of the worship time and demonstrating with your body that you're going to honour and worship God. Thank you, Jesus.
Forever faithful, forever you are good. Slow to anger, abounding in love. You show all that you have made, forgiving and restoring. Your love, it never fails. Lord, you match. Lord, you match. Jesus, all powerful, almighty. see God magnificent. Jesus, awesome in glory, you reign forever, forever faithful, forever you are good. Slow to anger, abounding in love. Lord, you are matchless. Lord, you are matchless. Who can compare? Magnificent Jesus.
Jesus, all power.
mighty God, magnificent Jesus, awesome in glory. Oh, magnificent, magnificent Jesus, all powerful, almighty God, magnificent Jesus, awesome.
We're going to carry on worshiping God now. We're going to stay in this place. We're going to move deeper into God. You don't need to go back, because this is just, these two sets of cards represent things that we're saying thank you to God for and things that we're asking God to do. And that's what they represent. And I'm just going to spread them along the front, because we're going to carry on worshiping God now. We're going to go into His presence in a deeper way. We're going to listen to what He wants to say. We're going to worship Him. But just as we've looked at what those worship and thankful things mean, as we lay down our thanksgivings and we lay down our requests, we're just going to honor Him over them this morning. We're going to worship Him, and He is going to fight our battles. He is going to bring our healing. He is going to let us see what we haven't seen that's written on these cards this morning. But I believe that God is inviting us on an adventure. He's inviting us on an adventure into His presence. And that as we begin to live our lives out of a place of worship and submission to Him truly as our Lord, we are as a people going to go into places that we've never been before. We're going to see Him prove Himself and demonstrate His power and His amazing ability in things that we've never known and things that we've never seen. But I firmly believe it comes out of us bending the knee and surrendering what we're good at and what we get wrong, our own desires, our own plans, our own achievements, our own destinies, to the one who has paid the price for us, because He is God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father God.
I lay my life before cast my crown before you. You are my Lord. You are my King. Lay my life. I lay my life before you. I cast my crown before you.
Teach us how to worship.
life before you. I cast my crown before you.
Sing, I am.
You are my Lord. You are. You are my Lord.
place, I have such a sense of God's desire to pour into you His presence, His answers, His anointing, His gifting, His direction, more than we could ever ask or imagine. And there's almost like I feel a physical emptiness inside, and it's God is just communicating to me His delight that as we lay before Him even the best of things that we are, that He has been waiting for this moment to come and fill and to pour His answer, His presence, His gifting, His anointing, His healing into your life. The desire of God for you to run with the fresh wine, the fresh anointing, the fresh outpouring of Him. Everything that's beyond what you've asked for and beyond what you've imagined. And by relinquishing and divesting, by casting your crown before Him, giving up the best of you, makes space for the best of Him. Holy Spirit, I welcome you in this place. I ask you to come now with your power, that you would greet each person in this building with a kiss, and that, Father, you would pour into them who you are as the answer. Father, who you are as the healing, who you are as the love, who you are as the anointing and the gifting, who you are as the boldness, who you are as the signpost that says walk this way and stop walking that way for the sake of my name. Holy Spirit, fill us. Seal this word in us today, that Father, our lives might be different this week, and that Father, we would see more than we could possibly ask or imagine, for your name to be glorified and for the lives of those around us to be transformed, rescued and made whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you. Praise God. Have an awesome week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.